Triple M's Big Breakfast for Team Moto and their biggest ever bike sale. Yamaha, Honda, Kawasaki, Suzuki and heaps more. Slash by up to $7,000. Check out teammoto.com.au.
Hello, welcome to the catch up. Thank you so much for streaming and make sure you subscribe as well. You can tell you we're getting to the end of the year on the catch up today. What'd you drop in the toilet?
Yeah.
Absolutely. I dropped my specs down the toilet. No. We opened up to, what did you drop down the toilet?
And it became, thank God it wasn't a portaloo you dropped it into.
Oh,
also,
Holy Lord.
We heard from Dear Moon Man. It was actually really pointed about my wedding across the weekend. Yeah. There was no hiding who we were talking to and why.
And we
Best wedding ever.
Lovely. And we also talked about Lend a Hand, where our useful listeners are actually doing something that's really heartfelt to help out a young bloke.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
The other morning I was here at Triple M, and in between stories,
When the news
coming up or whatever, rush into the toilet, got to get it done. Mm. It was a number two job, so I put
leaned
over to pull the seat down, and the glasses that I was resting on top of my shirt straight into the toilet.
Oh, no.
Oh, well, that's okay. It was before the
work started.
Yeah.
It's kind of, it goes in slow mo. It's very kind of like filmic. You're watching your glasses just floating down in the water, thinking, well, see you later, glasses.
Can you give me the length of time between the glasses hitting the water and you making that decision and reaching down to get them?
Oh,
was there ever four
seconds? There was a tiny delay.
Did you stand like, back up and go, "Well, do I need them that bad?"
Oh, yes, no, I do. No. It was also. Let's say it was clear water, although no one's going to drink from a toilet bowl. So it was clear water. So the hand goes in, out they come. Then you've got a wet hand and your glasses are wet. So it's like that's a difficult situation.
And
so,
your pants around your ankles.
And the news is finishing soon. And you're
no,
and there's a time constriction.
What's he doing? Yeah. So
we learn in breakfast radio to toilet very quickly. Can I just say? So
we are.
That's proficient at that.
So you just washed it off and back into it.
Look, I don't know whether I washed them off. I dried them. I dried them straight over the. I didn't actually wash them off. I didn't think of that. I just washed my hands and then I dried them in the.
Oh, in the hand dryer. No toilet paper.
In the vortex. What is it called? The vortex?
The Dyson hairdryer.
The air blower.
I've got a massive case of pink eye. But no, people, it's been happening for time. In memoriam, what have people dropped into the toilet and do you still use it?
Are you still using your glasses?
I'm wearing them right now. They are on my face. I would suggest you don't eat with these glasses.
Phone happens a lot, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. I've lost many a phone down the toilet. And now that with the new iPhone 8s, they still work.
Do they?
You know, from 8 onward.
Do you have to put them in rice still?
No. Chucky, you're bucking. What'd you drop in the loo?
The car keys.
Oh,
that's a classic.
Which isn't too bad, except it was a portaloo.
Oh, hold on.
Oh, no.
All right, so.
Then they've gone through the trapdoor.
They've gone through the trapdoor slot.
Slot?
Worse, I needed to go, so I had to add to the soup.
Oh,
yeah. It's
get a truck, get a glove out of the truck, and then go fishing.
Oh. This is what plumbers do on a daily basis.
Have to wash them, disinfect them, leave them in the sun to dry so the remote would work. Yep. Otherwise, I couldn't unlock the car to go.
Do you know what? I'm glad I'm not. I'm glad I'm not your ignition.
Chucky, how long did it all take? Full process, 2 hours.
Oh, a couple hours to dry it out, but yeah.
Oh, okay, God. We've all gone there.
That is horrific.
I forgot about portaloos.
Les of Sunnybank Hills, what happened? Yep. What have you dropped in the loo?
Well, honestly, wasn't me, but it's one of the funniest stories ever. We were having a night, boys' night, and one of my mates who got fairly drunk, he got sick, felt sick, went to the toilet and puked out his dentures.
Oh, dear. The dentures...
So obviously the dentures are quite expensive, and we had to help him to fish them out.
Oh,
yeah. Who helps?
Mamma mia!
Let them go.
From the puke, and
Leslie.
Les, you can't.
So then we rinsed them and we dropped them in a glass of vodka.
Oh God, some vodka! Of course you did.
and to sterilize them.
Yeah,
that's nice. Obviously, he put them back in, and then he drank the vodka. That's the end of the story.
Oh, beautiful, Les.
Great delivery.
Oh, Les, you call any time. Tony of North Lakes, morning.
Morning.
Hello, what you dropping the loo?
My mobile phone.
Oh.
Is what it still in there, Tony?
It was a public toilet, mate. It was dirty.
Oh.
And the phone never, ever got used again.
Oh, was it a new phone?
About 4 weeks old.
Yeah. Is it the one you're using now? Because it sounds terrible.
Moon sounds got that. I really know I was listening.
It's the big breakfast on Triple M.
Now, I'm always here to help, dear Moon Man. You can contact me and hit me up with your letters all the time. I've got a letter from a woman called Lou here, and it starts, "I'm the wife of a comedian and radio host called the Moon Man." Wow. What a coincidence, guys.
Wow. Again. You're Lou. Okay.
This woman also writes, "Let's make no mistake, he works for Triple M and often pretends that this is not me, his wife writing in, and that I'm mystically referring to some other Moon Man in a parallel universe. I'm talking about Lawrence the Moon Man Mooney."
There's no doubting this one is your wife.
No, I think this is still a pretty weird coincidence. "It's always an absolute pleasure and a privilege to be invited to a wedding," she says. "An honour, in fact, to watch two people celebrate their love in public. I think it's always a danger for a whole workplace to meet in a social setting, especially one as emotionally charged as a wedding. In short, on Saturday night, table 9, that housed the Triple M Big Breakfast team, was akin to being on a pirate ship. They were drinking like they had just won a battle. They were metaphorically swinging from the light fittings. I wouldn't have been surprised to see somebody with an actual dagger between their teeth."
What's her problem?
I know. She was part of it.
Yeah, exactly.
Make no mistake. She was blind. There were people at this table that didn't belong to the Triple M family, and at certain times of the evening I saw a genuine look of horror and confusion on their faces.
Bewilderment.
My husband, the Moon Man, he led the charge early when he was called on to propose a toast to the bride and groom, Robin and Sean. The analogy I used was that I saw him disappear into a fire. I thought he was lost and he was going to die. I'd never heard the former Prime Minister quite so munted or heard him swear so much.
I've never heard start a wedding with two F-bombs. Oh. So it was magnificent stuff.
But then, like Phoenix from the Flames or a scene from the Dukes of Hazzard, he came bursting through.
Dukes of Hazzard.
In the General League.
Yeah.
A racist car for a racist time and brought it home. What happened next was a continuation of the storyline from Pirates of the Caribbean 16, Blind in Byron, Robin and Sean's wedding. At one stage during Robin's speech, she announced that Triple M's Big Breakfast had gone to number one. I saw my husband bang the table with such ferocity that a glass of wine was bounced onto a pregnant woman. And at that point, I decided to join them.
Oh, God.
I don't have any question for you today, Moon Man, except to say, get off the P155, brother.
Marto, Robin and the Moon Man, lend a hand.
It was only a week ago that we first met the lovely little boy, Henry, who's just 3 years old and 12 months ago was living his life in a farm out of Rockhampton, and then everything changed. We also spoke to his mum, Jeannie, a week ago, and she explained exactly what happened.
Henry was a healthy, happy three-year-old, contracted a chest infection, and then he started having seizures on the fourth day.
Oh, no.
Lost the ability to breathe. We found out that Henry has anterior horn cell damage, which is the sheath on your spinal cord has been attacked. Wow. And that's why he can't breathe.
You've left your country home for good and you've bought a place in Brisbane. And you need what stuff done?
So we need ramp built so he can have access to the house and a big open bathroom so that we can get him into the shower within a shower chair.
Okay.
It'll be fantastic to get him home.
That was last Monday morning on this show, and Jeannie wasn't the one who reached out to us. It was Kathy, one of her ICU nurses at the Lady Salando Hospital, who said, "You've got to help these guys. They're too proud. They know no one in Brisbane." And by Monday afternoon, we had a full team ready to go.
So cool.
It was incredible, the response, because what Triple M listeners do, they do stuff.
They're useful people. You really help.
Useful people. So much
product, so much labour, and then, of course, we got it all pulled together, which is incredible. I can't believe it's just been a week.
Well, let's talk about what happened on Friday. There was a lot of work going on in the bathroom and the ramps and the steel beam was being put through, but outside Yeah, I've just shown you where that big. Show you to the house,
there's
and I said, "Well,
slab.
They need two cars to be able to pull up there, plus all the spare area. You think you've got to get a wheelchair out of the back of a Hiace van? That's what that huge slab. It was a 10 by 12 meter slab. Mm-hmm. We needed someone to do it, and I tell you what, they couldn't put their hands up fast enough. It was S&R concreting. We got Rob with us. Hi, Rob.
G'day, guys. How are you going this morning?
Mate, I remember you ringing us last week, and I thought, I wonder if he knows what he's got himself in for. You guys gobbled this up, made it look easy, this enormous slab, because you hadn't even started any boxing, any clearing until last Friday. Thank you, mate.
No, not a problem at all.
You give good slab, Rob. You really do.
Look, we were happy to help. Anybody that needs a hand, just get out there and give them a hand.
And so that concrete's been poured. The slab is down. How long before the guys from Lysart, who have said they're going to put in a carport, can put that up there?
Look, the guys from Lysart and put that up straight away. It's going to. It's a pretty solid slab. A little bit thicker than what we first imagined, but it's in. It's good. It's firm.
And it's not just the slab either, Rob. You put in a ramp in the back door.
Yeah, we put a little ramp in the back door. We need to get out the back too, so, you know.
Didn't know you were going to do that one. Well done, mate. I better ask to give him I don't know if you use Wagner's concrete all the time. If you're going to bag them, don't say anything. But how was it?
No, the concrete was good.
Righto, good one.
The boys supplied some good mud, so it was really good.
Well, thank you so much, Rob. We're really grateful. Mate. Where are we up to now?
We're up to bathroom reno. Well, we'll get that roof from Lysart. They're designing that and sorting that all out by the end of this week, hopefully. But the bathroom reno, the waterproofing's been done. We've got the tiler coming in tomorrow. I think Don's coming in. Or Don Bruin's coming in tomorrow. But we do need a couple of things. The window in the bathroom had to be deleted and I need a new one. So we need to re-glaze the bathroom window. So we need a glazer, window glazer there if possible, with obscure safety glass.
And there is a lot of the photos of the site and Henry's new home on our Facebook page.
Oh, they're
page.
On there?
There.
Yes,
so
check
it out.
If anyone wants to donate a front load washer and a dryer would be very helpful.
That would be super helpful.
Yes, indeed. And a few people come on board on Friday as well. We should say thank you to Stephen Beaumont Tiles Rochdale. He donated the bathroom wall and floor tiles.
Oh, thank God.
And Baysnet is supplying adhesive and grout for the tiling job as well. Right. It's the big breakfast on Brisbane's Triple M.
I've spoken about my Labradoodle cross with a Spoodle, Rupert, on this show many times. We've followed his trials and tribulations since June when he was diagnosed with cancer. He had a large tumour on his spleen. He was 2.5 hours on the table. They removed the spleen. They did a biopsy and found that he had a kind of cancer called angiosarcoma or hemangiosarcoma. It's a fast-growing blood-borne cancer. So he did chemo and then he was okay for a while. Sadly, on Friday, Rupert died.
Aww.
So I got a call from Lou to come home because he'd been pretty listless all day. I'd been with him most of the day, so I knew that. And then we crossed over. I was going to an event and Lou was at home. And she said he went outside and wouldn't come inside. And she thought that was maybe time. So I raced home. We popped him in the car and took a very slow drive to the vets. And they said, yeah, it's time for the little man to go.
How did they work that out? Could you just tell me, Moon? Because my dogs always end up dying at home.
So the week before he had been in a similar situation, and I was up in Brisbane for part of that week. So Lou took him into the vet. They shaved him down, did an ultrasound, and they said, "Yeah, he's got a growth on his liver that may be bleeding a little bit, but take him home and see if it rights itself." And he was right for a week, but then he, you know, took a turn, and they could feel by his gut being a bit distended and hot that he was probably bleeding internally again. So it was time to go. We weren't going to follow up with any further operation. You know, basically you have to go through that discussion with yourself. You're keeping them alive for them or for you.
And did you go into the vets and do it with him with the green dream?
And there was a vet there called Alexander, who'd been the vet that had seen him through, and she's just a beautiful young woman, and she talked us through it, told us exactly, you know, it's pretty quick acting, but it's an overdose of, you know, an anaesthetic, so they go to sleep and that is that. But I was I needed to know that he had gone onto the other side. So we were in there for quite a while and it was very emotional.
Yeah.
And Lou, who is so attached to that dog, was pretty distraught. And I just had to look into his eyes. So I held one of his eyes open and was just looking at it, and probably for about 5 or 10 minutes, and Luke just goes, just let his eyelid go, mate. It's like, oh, sorry.
Why, what were you looking for?
Oh, I just wanted to make sure that there was no sign of life.
What?
And really? I could feel it. But I also just needed to look at him, you know, not asleep. Yeah. I needed to look him in the eye, if you will. But yeah, it becomes pretty apparent when they start to go cold and that's it, the life force is gone. But then something weird happens at the vet. You know, I don't know about dog burial, disposal or whatever.
What about
taxidermy? They give you a pamphlet on the way out.
Taxidermy?
Well, no, do you want your dog cremated and what kind of container do you want the ashes in?
Yeah, so this they can is kind deliver of, it back.
It's a bit early.
Well, you've got to make a decision. What are you going to do?
I actually do want to taxidermy half him coming out of the wall chasing a ball that's somehow suspended across the room on a fine wire.
I'll introduce you to Mean, I got a mate of mine did his cat, and it's the front doorstop. I told Lou, your wife, on Saturday night, and she said, that's disgraceful. It's not disgraceful. It's the dog just lying there all the time.
Yeah, I would like him, like, just half of him coming out of a wall, like jumping for a ball.
No, you wouldn't. That would be really
pretty
weird.
Good. Be pretty cool.
I reckon it would.
What a respectable way. What a respectable way to have your memory live on.
Full of joy.
Half in a wall.
Rather than, here's a canister.
An expensive box of ashes. Yeah. Really? Are we doing that now?
Well, you can sprinkle them somewhere because Rupert loved to go to the park, and then you can go and have a little ceremony because Maggie would be really distraught. And
Maggie is distraught. She doesn't know why he died it. And I haven't even got the heart to correct her grammar. That's how much.
Listen, just with the spreading the ashes, you know how dogs all smell each other on trees and on posts and everything else? Yeah. Imagine that'd blow them away. Hold on. What's happened to that Rupert? He's really
Or you'd know which ashes were specifically his bum hole because the dog would go straight for them.
Really? Is this where we ended up about a lovely memorial to Rupert?
Well, listen, if I wasn't laughing, I would be crying. Okay, so there's been a lot of tears all weekend.
Yeah. Rest in peace, Rupert. It is the Big Breakfast on Brisbane's Triple M.
Hey, there's a bit of a sad story on the news. I think Claire's going with it today about that stabbing. Well, Channel 9 handled it last night.
Police and paramedics were called to a boarding house on Ipswich Road at Annerley around 3 p.m. this afternoon after reports of a stabbing. A major manhunt got underway this afternoon to find the alleged attacker. Polair was called in to assist police.
Anyone who's ever driven out along Ipswich Road will need. There's a men's boarding house there. Often a few of them are probably just out of jail, etc., trying to find their way in life. Mm-hmm. Okay, so they've had a... They often sit on the fence there. They're kind of well known, all right?
Yeah, no, I know exactly where you mean.
Okay. Now, their vision on Channel 9 last night had the police sniffer dog jumping out. Apparently that was how they finally got their guy. The sniffer dog got him. And that's okay. It's great.
Yeah, that's great. Result. That's what they're there for.
Helicopter was involved, drug dogs. A friend of ours, actually. We all know him well.
Okay.
He was driving past just as it was happening, and let me make sure I get this correct, on the corner of Ipswich and Venner Road. Now, Venner Road's the one coming up from Fairfield. On the corner there, okay?
Yeah.
The police dog was just swinging down there, but before it went down there, so he's driving along Ipswich Road, the police sniffer dog did a number two.
Oh.
Dropped a big turd on the median strip, and and it didn't stop. Now, I'm sure he was on the job. What's the ruling on... Police, like, it's still a poo. You can't go just leaving it on the median strip, can you?
Now, I would say, and I'll put the ruling down here, that any emergency services worker that needs to take some time out and just keep moving for the good of society, ambulance driver, go for your life.
SES guy trying to put a tarp on someone's roof after a storm. What, certainly. Just
drop one in the gutter? Tow truck driver. Coupling up a semi on the freeway.
And no clean-up required. Dog. Don't just fall on the ground.
What? Grass fire.
Okay, no.
Out on the edge of town.
No. That's not going to... It didn't work for me with Robert Di Castella in the 1982
Commonwealth Games. He still hasn't cleaned that up.
That's not going to work for
We should explain it. In the marathon, it went down the back of his legs and that went all over the streets of Brisbane.
Well, it's perfect for flooding, isn't it? A bit of sandbagging before the flood reaches the doorstep.
No one gave me a proper ruling there.
Oh, no, we're cool with it, obviously.
Okay, well, am I right?
Yeah. No.
Game on. Game on by the police.
Just descending by myself.
Majority rules. This is the Big Breakfast on Triple M.
The Big Breakfast's can of worms.
I think this is a fairly contentious issue because I think it's a dirty little secret that parents don't do and now they've been caught out. This was the story that happened. It was in the Sunday Mail yesterday and then the news took it up as well.
It's usually Queensland parents slamming children for being glued to their phones and devices, but it appears the tables have turned. Stressed out kids craving the attention of mum and dad, revealing for the first time they're ignored almost daily as their parents immerse themselves in the online world.
Interesting.
I've got to say that I have a five-year-old that pleads for me and Lou to get off our phones.
See?
She says, Mum, Dad, please put your phones down. Mind you, she is glued to her iPad
quite a bit. But she's only five. The story they had in the Sunday Mail was 14 to 16-year-olds, and all six of the ones they interviewed all said, yeah, Mum and Dad are just scrolling through Facebook.
Yeah, doing social media. Because my theory in this is that we did not grow up with them, so it's something we feel we're missing out on. Whereas kids, it is part of their extension of themselves. It is like they breathe their devices.
They haven't known anything else.
They haven't known any better. So when they get bored, they put it down and go and do something else. I actually agree with that. I think parents are more addicted to screens than their kids.
You reckon?
I do.
No way. It's the kids. Oh, hold on. If you tell a parent or if a kid, you know, parents will go, yeah, good point. They've got the sense to actually, whereas kids, you try to take that screen off them, they are screaming and howling. They won't. So that shows me that they're more addicted. At least the parent go, yes, you're right. Sorry about that.
So they have sort of a rational thought.
Yes.
Whereas a kid doesn't.
Whereas the kids don't. They are madly addicted to these things. And we've caused it because we've had it. Well, I won't say I've caused it because I reckon I just missed out the front end of it with 18, 19-year-old kids. But
yeah, I get what you're going to say.
You have just babysat those kids with a screen from the time they were two.
That's been going on for generations. I watched as much TV as a kid as Maggie does on her screen.
Yeah, but the screen's interactive.
From the moment I came home until dinner time, I'd be watching Brady Bunch, Hogan's Heroes, Get Smart.
Gilligan's Island, let's keep going. Tell us when to stop. My God, you're right. You don't think about that.
McHale's Navy.
Yeah, no.
Okay,
yes, you can sing the theme song of the Brady Bunch. Well done, you. But it wasn't interactive. It didn't engage you in the same way. And that's why I think that parents, because they want that instant gratification and kids are used to it.
When you say addiction is, I can't give this up.
I can't live without it.
But could you?
No.
Have you ever seen them at parks? Like, you know, I'm not involved with little kids in parks anymore, but.
Thank God.
anymore. No.
Well, you've got a bracelet now, have you?
Yeah, I've got the order.
That's what it sounded
my
like.
My children are too old.
Okay. All right.
But now, you remember how you used to play with it? Yeah, you used to with your own children when you went to a park. These days, not one parent is
swinging swings.
They are all standing there looking down at their phones thinking the park will take care of their children.
Okay, so parents are more addicted to screens than their children. Karen of Toowong on 133353, by the way, if you want to give us a call. Karen, what do you reckon?
I actually agree that the parents are ignoring their children. A nurse, and I've often had parents come in with a sick child and trying to get them off the phone so you can get a history about this child.
Oh, right.
Really hard.
Right, really hard to hear, Karen.
Yeah, we're having trouble with that phone.
So that's very interesting what Karen was saying. As a nurse, she's trying to get a medical history off the parents about the child, and they're still on their phones.
Tell me what they're
looking
at.
So this is what kind of mick-mocks we're talking about out there.
Yeah, they're never.
Their child's injured themselves at a park. They've finally got them to get help, and they're still on their phone.
But what are they scrolling through Facebook, those?
Yeah, I think it's social media. I think it's social media. If you want to defend that children are more addicted, by all means, 133353.
Who are some of those cabbies talking to when you're catching a cab? Who are they talking to?
And how can they talk so quietly? But also, what a good friend you are if you speak to a cab driver for a seven-hour shift.
Yeah. What are you doing? What job are you doing?
You've got no life.
Yeah. Peter of Albany Creek, what have you observed?
Hey, how you going this morning, team?
Yeah, have you seen this?
Terrific.
Is it more kids or adults?
Hey, it's the adults, and it's, you know what, it's not just the, you know, sort of the 35 to 50 bracket. It's older than that as well. I was in the airport the other week, and we saw about 10 people that would have been, you know, sort of 60s and 70s, and they're all sitting around, all glued to their device. This is a problem right across the board.
Can we speculate what they were looking at? Was it Tinder? what were they doing?
Hey, look, I don't know, maybe they were Facebook chatting to each other, I don't know, but it's a big problem right across the generations. I think there was a couple there that had a book, and it was almost like I'd made eye contact with this person with a book, and it was like, you know, rolling our eyes at all these people on their devices. It was amazing.
Thank you, Pete. And Denise of Augustine Heights, what do you reckon?
Good morning. I am a grandparent carer, so I am raising my four-year-old granddaughter.
Good on you. There's a lot of you, Denise, around the joint.
There is. There's quite a few of us who get very little recognition and no help from anyone.
Good on you.
But that's a whole nother story.
What have you said?
Right. So obviously I have Facebook. My husband has Facebook. I am doing it like I did with my boys, who obviously we didn't have any of that when I was raising my boys, who are both in their mid-20s. I am now doing it all over again with all of these extra things. I actually think I do it really well myself. However, my husband, not so much. And what's really interesting is she's noticed. And so at four, she'll say, "Papa, put your phone down. I'm trying to show you something."
Wow. Oh, yeah. Yeah, Pop, shaming. Come on. Get off the phone.
Yep.
And does he, Denise, does he do that?
Occasionally.
Oh, wow.
Maybe 15%, not all the time. And I am constantly saying, you are missing everything. You are missing her growing up because your head is down.
Come on, Denise, you're playing a bit of Candy Crush.
No, I'm not. No, I deleted it off my phone when she came into our care.
Is the youngster, do you give her any screen time? Do you give her a screen to babysit her occasionally?
If we're out is the only time she gets it. So she sees it as a treat. So if we go to dinner
That's
at
good.
Friends or if I'm going to a meeting and I have no other way of, like, looking after her, that is the only time she gets screen time. And she sees it as a treat simply because that's the only time she gets it. However, the other day it came out that my husband gives her his phone when they're at the supermarket.
Oh.
Remember the old days you used to give them keys to play with, baby's keys. Yeah, now mum's just giving them a thing.
Hey, Denise, we want to give you something nice because you are doing a really good job and you deserve to be rewarded. Yeah. And thanks for calling.
Yes, indeed. Milk Cafe Ashgrove, serving the best homemade hamburgers, old-fashioned milkshakes in Brisbane. You've got $100 to spend there.
Awesome. Thank you so much. That's lovely.
Just check one thing. Are they paying you any money per day?
No, I get nothing.
Don't start that.
That's another one. We'll get onto that
another time.
95% of people saying that parents are more addicted to screen time. So there you go on 133353. Thanks for your calls. It's Big Breakfast on Triple M.
We can reveal severe doubts over the poll conducted by the government to change the name of the Lady Cilento Children's Hospital. Figures obtained by Nine News show some IP addresses voted thousands of times, with the possibility the name change was not what Queenslanders voted for.
It hit you between the eyes last night as a headline. Outrageous. And the man who put the story together, let's go straight to the source, Tim Arvia from Channel 9. Hello, mate.
Good morning, guys.
The story last night, it was an exclusive to Nine. It's fraud, is it not?
Well, we don't know. These IP addresses, the government, when they released them to me, they covered them up. And the reason they did that, they say, is for privacy reasons. They don't want anyone to be able to be traced. And look, it's fair enough. But they won't actually tell us, though, if any government departments are involved in all this mass voting, because you see, for the vote to change the name from Lady Cilento to the government's preferred name of the Queensland Children's Hospital, there were roughly just under 24,000 votes, and about 18,000 of those came from just 74 IP addresses. And then there's 24 IP addresses which alone account for 10,676 votes, which is more than a quarter of all the entire votes put together.
Sounds smelly.
And can I ask you this, Tim? Have those IP addresses got anything in common? Do they come from a similar source?
Well, it's funny with IP addresses. They're basically, for people who don't know, they're sort of like a computer's home address, and multiple computers can use the same home address. But those 24 I mentioned, the government has covered up the first half of the address has been blocked out. So that would normally tell us whereabouts it's come from. But then there's like the sub-network part of the IP address. It's all a bit technical. It's all the same for those 24 IP addresses.
Right.
They're very similar. So it's a fair bet. It's probable that most of those have come from a similar location, but we can't say for sure. You can't say for sure.
But you can't say for sure, but potentially some organisation's headquarters.
Yeah, potentially it's been reached. The government would be able to tell us if those IP addresses are related to a government department. Has it been someone in Queensland Health sitting behind a computer? Has it been one person? Has it been 50? We don't know. Was it a government minister's office? We don't know. The government knows that.
What's the name they're backing in? the block of 24.
Oh, yes, they all want to change.
Change, I mean, the name. Tim, why did the government, I can't remember, why did they say they wanted to change it? Because it sounded like a private hospital, the Lady Salento Hospital. Is that why they wanted to change the name?
That's one of the big reasons. They said that people don't know that it's public.
What's going on here?
Something's going on.
The family said that, well, why don't you just put public in the name. I mean, the doctors also have mounted a campaign. They say they would get more research money if it was called the Queensland Children's Hospital. Oh. But then, of course, there's a big political agenda, which is the Labor Party was the one who commissioned the hospital and built the hospital, but then Campbell Newman came into power and he got to name it. And that's never sat well.
That's what this is about.
This is what it's about.
It's tit for tat stuff. Gee. Mm.
So what's happening?
The family say it's a political agenda and,
Is there any law against this?
No, I don't think so. I mean, there's nothing to stop you from voting multiple times. Okay. It just means that you can't really put any faith in the survey results. Yeah. What's interesting is Stephen Miles, the health minister, got up in Parliament and said that 2/3 of the public voted for the name change. Now, there is very, very skinny evidence to say that that is correct.
You seem to be doing the work of the opposition party. Well done, mate.
Cheers. Thanks, guys.
We'll see that story tonight. Channel 9 News, Tim Arvia. Thanks for your time.
The drought in the west of New South Wales and the south of Queensland has been devastating all year. And why I mention it is because last night on the Sunday program, Zipporah, formerly Kate Fisher, did a tell-all about her relationship with James Packer. Jeez. She was engaged to James Packer. She was a supermodel, an actress.
She got paid out.
She did. Lots of millions of dollars.
She got a lot of money, didn't she? Anyway, Zipporah Malka is a changed woman. And last night, and this is something that's very concerning, she revealed the water usage of the Packer family.
Kerry would rage at him for hours at a time. He never really wanted to show me the upset of his upsetness, but once I did sneak a look and he thought he was alone. He was in the shower and he just was standing there, the water running over his face, and he'd been there for 40 minutes and this was like a daily occurrence. Oh, no. So
daily.
I peeked in and he was a mess.
James.
40-minute showers.
Have you seen
daily.
The water bill?
James Packer, you're stealing from the farmers.
They can afford
rich,
it.
Weeping, soft you. Does it end there?
It doesn't end there.
Reality came to me like a real bucket of cold water in my face.
Oh,
it was
again,
a very, very, very fast fall.
I don't know.
Water. Oh, that's a yellow card.
So that whole relationship needs a
packet. Throwing water away.
Hopefully, James, you're showering less than 40 minutes a day, mate.
Yeah, that's 15-year-old boy stuff. You're still in there.
It's the big breakfast
what
on Triple M.
What is he doing in there?
He's weeping.
Such empathy. It's the end of the podcast. What do you know? So tune in tomorrow and catch the show. Triple M.